Good morning. My name is Matt, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I'd like to welcome everyone to Vesta's third quarter 2016 earnings conference call. Vesta issued its quarterly report on Wednesday, October 26, 2016. If you did not receive a copy via email, please do not hesitate to contact the company at +52 55 595 000 70. Before we begin the call today, I'd like to remind you that forward-looking statements made during today's conference call do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, company performance, and financial results. These statements are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties. All figures included herein were prepared in accordance with the IFRS, and are stated in nominal U.S. dollars unless otherwise noted. Joining us today from Vesta in Mexico City is Lorenzo Berho, Chief Executive Officer, Juan Sutil, the Chief Financial Officer, and Iga Walska, the Investor Relations Officer. I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Berho. Sir, please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your interest in Vesta and for participating in today's conference call. Against a backdrop of rapid change, Vesta is executing an ambitious growth strategy as Mexico's foremost industrial real estate provider. We're strongly positioned to capitalize on the country's manufacturing expansion, and our depth of experience enables us to anticipate client needs. Our commitment to innovation was shown at Vesta's recent board meeting in Silicon Valley, at a program designed to bring our last 2 years of innovating efforts to the next level. Exponential is a mindset, a choice that innovate and nimble companies like Vesta have made. We are already seeing strong results from systems we have introduced to accelerate the pace we process client proposals, a dynamic that will further drive Vesta's growth. Mexico's main industries showed strong growth during the third quarter. In September, automotive sales rose to 18%, to the highest volume ever. Almost two-thirds of foreign direct investment so far in 2016 has been directed to the manufacturing sector. Mexico also gained 4 places in world competitiveness rankings, as foreign companies continue to make it their manufacturing location of choice. Vesta is an active participant in these dynamics and leased over 930,000 square feet during the period. This drove our vacancy rate down to 9.7% from 12.2% previously. Overall, our portfolio grew to 20.9 million square feet. These achievements against our Vesta Vision 2020 strategic plan are underpinned by a robust development pipeline, unique for its high proportion of built-to-suit properties. This quarter, built-to-suit reached 48% of our pipeline, a record high, supported by contracts such as one we signed in Aguascalientes of over 99,000 square feet for 10 years at an 11.4% cap rate. We also signed an 8-year lease agreement with German automotive Sagumi Technologies, an existing tenant of the company. In addition, Sagumi extended its existing contract for an additional 5 years to 2023. Critically, this trend translates into stronger GLA growth and continued FFO per share gains for all shareholders. We are continuously investing to ensure we maintain excellence in the development of industrial real estate, with an entrepreneurial team that generates innovative and sustainable solutions. Vesta's solid financial results are a reflection of our continued success, with a 14.2% rise in total rental income to $65.9 million for the period. Net operating income grew over 14% to more than $63.7 million U.S. dollars, and NOI margin fell slightly to 96.2%. EBITDA rose 15% to over $55 million U.S. dollars. Funds from operation totaled $33.2 million in the 9 months, and from $28.6 million previously, a rise of over 26%. Looking ahead, we have a positive view of the industrial market. Automakers continue to invest in bringing their suppliers to Mexico, and Vesta is playing an active role in facilitating this demand. We are focused on refining our high-quality industrial portfolio and leveraging operational efficiencies. At Vesta, we advance on the path to being an exponential organization, one that is technologically smart, adaptive, and able to seize opportunities that translate into profitable growth. As always, we're committed to the ongoing execution of our Vesta Vision 2020 plan to double the size of our company by the year 2020, utilizing our expertise to fulfill demand for well-located, high-quality industrial facilities. We appreciate your continued trust and support. Thank you, and I will now turn the microphone to Mr. Juan Sotil, our CFO.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us. This quarter, the quality of our portfolio and expertise of our team was demonstrated with another set of positive financial and operational results. We achieved double-digit growth in revenues and EBITDA, while our vacancy rate fell, and Vesta high ratio of build-to-suit properties in our pipeline bodies bodes well for future profitability. Along with solid demand and sector fundamentals, these dynamics enable Vesta to remain a best-in-class provider of industrial real estate in Mexico. Most of our properties are located in markets with the most significant economic growth, such as the central region, the Bajío, and we remain focused on major manufacturing, trade, and logistic hubs, where clients require high-quality buildings for specific industrial needs. Vesta portfolio grew to 20.9 million square feet in the third quarter, while occupancy trends were broadly stable on a same-store and stabilized basis. Overall, the vacancy rate fell to 9.7 from 12.2% a year early. During the quarter, we signed leases totaling 731,000 square feet with multinational companies across industry. The lease agreements we signed to develop a build-to-suit in Aguascalientes contributed to the 48% of build-to-suit properties we have in our pipeline that will boost our future profitability. Regarding key financial metrics, revenue grew to 14.5% to over 22 million. As of the third quarter, Vesta has already renewed 48% of leases due to expire in 2017, and we have 2.9 million square feet in buildings under construction. We expect these projects to contribute around 16 million to revenue once they are stabilized, giving us confidence on the revenue outlook. Third quarter operating results as a share of rental income rose 50 basis points on a year-on-year, due to a rise in maintenance costs and other expenses. Net operating income was 13.7% higher to 21.9 million as demand for our properties offset costs. NOI margin was 60 basis points lower to 96.2. EBITDA grew 13.2% to 19 million, while EBITDA margin fell 100 basis points to 83.4 from the previous year's third quarter. Total comprehensive income was $16.5 million, up from a loss in the prior year, due mainly to a gain in the revaluation of investment properties. Funds from operations rose nearly 23% to $14.4 million. Turning to our balance sheet, cash and cash equivalents were $92.2 million. Operating activity generated cash flow of $63 million. Investing activities were focused on payments for construction work on progress on buildings in Bajío, Ciudad Juárez, Tijuana, and the Central Region. Total investments were $31 million for the quarter. Financing agreements, which we signed earlier this year, have ensured our cost of debt remains low, and Vesta maintains a robust and efficient balance sheet that will enable us to fulfill our ambition for aggressive and sustainable growth. At the quarter close, we have an overall debt balance of $340 million, all of which is related to long-term liabilities. All our debt remains denominated in U.S. dollars, as we can comfortably address any upcoming maturities. As Mexico preeminent industrial real estate company, we have a strong balance sheet and a robust pipeline to support our ambitious growth plan. We are committed to generate sustainable growth over the long term for all stakeholders and fulfilling the goals of our Vesta Vision 2020 plan. We look for the period ahead with confidence and will continue to deliver our growth promise. Thank you very much, and I will open the floor for questions. Matt, at this time, if you like, if somebody likes to ask a question, can you pass it through, please?
Sure. At this time, we'll be conducting the question and answer session. Now, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to move your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from Enrico Estrada from I2BBA. Please go ahead.
Good morning, all. Thanks for the presentation. I have two questions. The first question regarding the BTS projects. We see that the proportion of BTS projects has been increasing inside the company's pipeline of greenfields. When you look at the 2020 vision plan, what should we expect in terms of proportion of BTS projects ahead? Should we expect a new BTS against the inventory buildings that you have been announcing? So I would like to understand how the new BTS should be as a proportion of the 2020 vision plan. And the second question, I think, again, we have vacancy rates show a big improvement on a quarterly basis in all regions, especially in the Bajío. I would like to understand your expectations for vacancy rates ahead. And What about prices? Have been decreasing prices to keep this level of vacancy rates, or are you sustaining the prices that you have inside the portfolio? That's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Enrico. Thank you for being here today. I would like just to try to address both questions, or three questions. The first one related with the proportions. As you have seen, we have had 48% of our build-to-suits this year, and we have always planned to have a good balance in terms of build-to-suits and inventory buildings. Inventory buildings require smart intelligence of the market, so we have the product ready to go to plug and play when the companies are nominated or decide to establish operations in one site. So it's important to have the right product, the right size, the right quality in the right market. But on the other hand, Vesta's skills for development has every time been gaining credibility, and that's exactly what the companies are happy to have, and they talk very much to each other. So that's why it's not a surprise to have this increasing pipeline in build-to-suits. But if you wanted to foresee the future, and really it all depends when you take the picture, I would say that considering 40% of build-to-suit going forward is a pretty good range. Going to 48 or 50, which we have today, is even better. But 40% for build-to-suits would be fine. Then the other question related the vacancy rates, yes, just as you described, we have seen activity in the markets, and we have been closing deals. I mean, 900,000 square feet just during this quarter is a great example of what we are doing. We have also been renewing the 2017 leases, so this shows activity. So, and in this regard, let me tell you a couple of examples of deals we have closed, one of them being in Toluca. We have been able to increase substantially the price because for some reason they were lower for many years, and we are able to replace those tenants with better rates. But mostly I would say they are either flat or with an increase of CPI. That's what we have seen the rents in pricing.
That's perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rico.
Once again, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, it is star 1. And our next question comes from Javier Kyle, JPM.
Oteca in Apo, Montaña. Please wait. Your call will continue in a moment.
I'm sorry. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Lauren, Juan. Thank you for the call. I have two questions. The first one would be regarding the projects that enter development this quarter that, if I'm correct, are located in Guanajuato, in the Puerto Interior. I want to check if that's correct. And also, I want to understand the strategy on that market. If, as we can see on your information, one of those inventory buildings has been vacant throughout almost the whole year, and I want to understand why are you guys going into development of two new projects on that same area without leasing the first one first, and just to understand the strategy on that market and what are you guys seeing there. And also, and my second question is regarding the strong pipeline that you guys are expected to deliver in the next 4 to 5 months. Can you tell us how are things going on that side on the month that has already passed? And if it is the case that you guys expect the vacancy to drop because of this large increment in GLA? Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Javier. Thank you very much, Javier. And let me walk a little bit through that. I think that you're right. The 2.9 million square feet that we have been developing are shows that the how strong we have been in development in all markets. And as you can see, as we just talked about this, 48% of that are build-to-suits. So looking ahead, and you can see the dates in which they are being going to be terminated, and you look how many of those are build-to-suits, like the Safran deal, which is going to start paying rent in March next year, or the TPI 2, which also will be ending in February of next year. All those big projects are the ones exactly at the top. They represent the build-to-suit that we will be delivering, and they will be producing rents. Now, going to inventory, it's important. First of all, some of the companies have sometimes are anticipating than what we expected, like Daimler in Aguascalientes. They have been very active in the nominations, and we feel the process. Sometimes the negotiations take some time, but we know that several of those companies are being nominated. The build-to-suit of ZF that we closed in Aguascalientes shows how they are active in terms of build-to-suit and the nomination in Aguascalientes. And then some places like Guanajuato, the dynamism that requires a park, we always like to have a finished product which partially has been leased. And then we are starting working in other inventory because we know that in that particular region the trends of strong demand is there, and whenever they are leased we will be announcing that. So, but we will not be building another inventory buildings until these keep moving at the pace that we require. What wouldn't be a surprise would be just to have other build-to-suits in the same part. That would not increase the risk of inventory space in the same region. So I would say that those are basically the comments. And in the next quarter, as you were able to see, we reduced to a little over 9% our vacancy rate of the total portfolio. But of course, you can see the same storage measures, and you can see how the portfolio is increasing in terms of size. And of course, sometimes it's just a matter of exactly when you close the deal, if that could either increase a little bit, 1 or 2 points, or stay at the 9% levels. So that really all depends on when you take the picture. But a company that develops through the same entity usually have some movement in the terms of the ratio at the time that you take the picture. But this is what our board and our investment committee, with a lot of discipline, considers the right path in terms of having growing quality buildings in strategic regions and having some inventory buildings for the companies that do not have time and need to plug and play very easily.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mary Maratori Blanca from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for the call. I have a quick question. Was there any change in your FFO calculation this quarter? Because the conversion from EBITDA to FFO was surprisingly high for us. So I was wondering if there was something in particular in the quarter, or was there a change in the calculation methodology, or what should we expect going forward as far as your FFO line?
Marimar, thank you for the question. Let me address it. No, we didn't change the methodology. In our supplemental package, we published the methodology that we follow, which closely follows NAREIT recommendations. So we provide you with a tie-in between FFO and between net income, total comprehensive income, and FFO. So we haven't changed the methodology. Let me try to address specifically why FFO is shooting up. Basically, as a general proposition, we believe that FFO will begin to grow substantially for the quarters to follow. The most salient increase of FFO, of course, comes from the reduction of interest rates. As you know, we renegotiated the debt. Our prior interest rate average for the company was somewhere around 7%, and today we're a hell of a lot lower than 4%, if we were to swap the debt into fixed. Now, we haven't done that swap, so our effective interest rate is just LIBOR plus 200 plus basis points, so that kind of explains the high increase. Also, bear in mind that the increase only was effective for two or the 3 months of the quarter. So there's some more kick that we're going to get in the future. So that specifically is in terms of the biggest impact because of the debt cost. There were other things that also had bearing on the increase in FFO, which is how, remember that Investa, we're basically a high leverage, high company operational leverage. Our costs are well controlled, are tightly controlled, and increasing revenues directly go to the bottom line, and in particular to FFO. So that's another source of the high increase. Also, remind ourselves that our costs, our administrative costs, are based in pesos. And this quarter, as the peso continued to slide against the dollar, our administrative costs shrink a little bit. So that also provided a boost to FFO. This element, of course, is temporary. We do not base our value proposition on FX fluctuations. But rather we do it on very strict cost controls, and that's how we view it. I don't know if I make sense on against your worksheet calculations.
No, yes, Juan, this is very helpful. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Alan Macias from Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone, and thank you for the call. Just two questions. Back on the development pipeline, I guess you have 5 inventory buildings being completed this quarter and 3 built-to-suits. If you can give us more detail on if you have finished the construction of some of these buildings already, and if you can just provide us on any pre-leasing details on these buildings. And the second question is, any time frame for using derivatives in your debt, and what do you estimate the cost? The cost of debt would go up once you've covered from variable to fixed interest. Thank you.
Okay, let me address first the debt question. No, we do not have derivatives on the company at this moment in time. On the debt side, we basically have close to $350 million debt, out of which $150 million are based on a floating rate basis. We haven't fixed the rate. The intention of the company is at some point in time to swap it into fixed. And yes, at that moment in time, we'll probably do a float to fix swap for not for the 5 years of the debt, but probably for 2 years, somewhere in that neighborhood. But at the moment, we keep it on a floating rate basis. We will swap it sometime within the next couple of months. On the development pipeline, the build-to-suits and inventory building, there is a table in the development pipeline in the supplemental package that tells you the percentage of completion that the buildings have. Most of the buildings are progressing according to plan. Bear in mind that inventory building usually takes us 6 months to build. Build-to-suits, because of the complexity of our requirements to the clients, may take a little bit longer. For example, the one example of that would be SNECMA, the SNECMA building or the TPI buildings. But again, that's the nature of the building. When a client requires a very specific TI, we may take 1 month, 45 days longer. But that's about it. Building progression is according to plan. Also, if you take a look in the supplemental package in page number 14, you will see our progress in leasing the buildings. There's a column called percentage of lease buildings, and there you can keep track of how we're leasing buildings in construction, which is key. If we're very good in doing this, we really want to diminish the development risk that the company bears. So, for example, in the building that we call Pizza 11, which is in the Querétaro Industrial Park, the building is due to completion this month. In fact, it was delivered sometime during October. But regardless of that, we have already leased close to 43% of the area to various customers. Another example would be the building in the San Miguel Industrial Park, which was also delivered to us during October, and we have a 23% leased building. So that is an important feature. Bear in mind that we call them inventory buildings and not spec, because we really believe that if you do it with intelligence and local knowledge, we can begin leasing the buildings even before we finalize the product. And these are two examples of how we do that. Once the buildings are delivered, they will show up in the lease of properties on page 11 of the supplemental package. And in that page, on the lease of properties portfolio, we continue to tell you what's the percentage of lease up that we have. So, for example, Puerto Interior 2, which is an inventory building in the Guanajuato region, in the Puerto Interior, has a 40% lease percentage per GLA. If that percentage were to reach 90 a substantial amount, more than 80%, we will put it on the stabilized portfolio. And you could see an example of that. The Florida 2 building, which was part of the lease of portfolio last quarter, is 100% lease, and we move it to the stabilized portfolio as per the rules that NAREIT has defined in how to treat this portfolio. So that way, as a reader of our report, you can keep track of how much development risk we have on the balance sheet. So today we have the development portfolio, which will come and will pop up as finalized products at some point in time. The dates are there for you to review. But our development risk of delivered properties is around 1 million square feet, 946,000 square feet, which is a rather low number. And when you see a low number on the lease of properties, We will grow more aggressively by developing more inventory buildings, which is what we control. If that number were to be very high, 3 million square feet lease-up property portfolio, and if the percentage of lease-up is very low, the company will be more conservative in initiating more construction. And this is the purpose of this reporting methodology, for you to assess what is the growth path and the growth rate of Vesta.
I would also like to add that that when you check about the termination dates of the pipeline, all of them are on time. Remember that we have a very disciplined ISO 9000 procedures to do the bidding process and to control the projects. And we are very keen in making sure that these are delivered on time. If you see the progress percentages, that's economic percentage. Those are payments which have been already paid, but some of them, if they may show October 2016, all of them have been finished in the exact month that we have established here. So that's what you should expect and have that, and you see how important this is just to keep. And we understand that having clients that have processes like just in time or just in sequence, and not delivering on time, is not an option for us. That's what builds our credibility, and that's what we take a lot of care. This week we had today we had the full board of Safran visiting Querétaro, the project that is shown to be finished by February 17, in which they will make the blades for the most important engine in the world to be replaced, and that's the kind of things that we are doing.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Cecilia Jimenez from Santander. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question and congrats on the results. As a follow-up on the development pipeline, could you give us some color regarding the potential tenants of those developments? What I'm trying to see is whether the current pipeline, the current breakdown that you have today from roughly 42% exposure to automotive sector would potentially increase or decrease versus the other areas of the portfolio. Thanks.
Sure, Ceci. Thank you. Thank you for being on the call, and thank you for your question. First of all, let me tell you, of course, we cannot share things that are not closed, but especially since Guillermo Diaz joins as part of being our CFO in the company, CIO in the company, sorry, we have not seen a stronger pipeline ever in the history of Vesta. So that shows a little bit of how much internal work we need to do. That's why, as I expressed in my letter, we have been working even in reducing our internal time to deliver pricing and solutions to the clients when we are negotiating the deals. And that is something that internally and operationally is much more effective and has been good news inside the company. Now, on the other hand, I don't have any evidence of a change in the percentage of share of industries that we have today. Remember that 50 to 60% of our growth comes from existing clients. So sometimes one client of the aerospace industry may have, for example, Safran may be considering growing different plants, which they have announced. They had a meeting with the president, and we will be bidding for those. If that happens, of course, probably temporary, the aerospace sector could increase in percentage share. If the automotive keep rolling as the way we see the pipeline, this would be basically keeping the 40% of share that the automotive sector has. Logistics, in general terms, internal consumption has been good, and the companies that we have in our portfolio are also having the needs to grow as the demand is needed. So I would say that in general terms, looking forward, I don't see any specific change in the percentage of industries that we have today in our portfolio, Ceci.
Perfect. Thanks, Lauren. And then a second question is regarding competition. Where you see competitors acting more aggressively? Is it price? Is it quickness or in delivering? what is it where you see the most fierce competition? Thanks.
No, thank you. Thank you, Ceci. And that is also a very good question. Let me tell you, there's competition all over, and that's good for the sector. I mean, competition makes us better every time and keeps us busy. That's one of the reasons that we are here today in Palo Alto. Let me share with you that we brought full our board and top management to the Singularity University to take a seminar and educational program about how to become an exponential organization, which is one of the probably the best place in the world to learn about this. So we took that time to do it, and that's how we want to keep differentiating ourselves from our competitors. But that's a ongoing process, and I just wanted to share that with you. Now, we see competition all over, and we have mostly the competitors that we see are basically local competitors. The Fibras and all that, they mostly acquire properties, and they are some of them concentrated in the very large markets. And you know that we are in 13 different states, and we are very, very key to follow through and keep growing with our clients. So it's local competitors who are very good competitors. And they, if they have, for example, land that we do not have, they may have an advantage on that. But in terms of construction time, I don't think that no one is as efficient as we do with the quality that we have. And that's something that we are very happy. I don't think I fully answer Javier's question regarding one of the buildings, and I want to relate this with your question, Ceci. There are some times that we face competition, and we have some competitors that may have lower quality, and probably they want to accept to give lower pricing in pesos. And in that regard, sometimes we prefer to wait for the quality multinational that requires our product and the quality of our product and is willing to pay in dollars. So that's why sometimes it's a rather of kind of holding on instead of just being desperate to close one of these leases at any price or in any currency. We want to keep also the quality of portfolio that we have developed. That's what we have understood that our investors like, and basically keeping with the returns and with the spreads that we can give by developing internally and giving the full scope of the spread and the value to our shareholders.
Perfect. Thanks, Lauren. That's very clear.
Thank you, Ceci.
Our next question is from Mark Denver from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you, Mark.
Hi, Lorenzo. Hi, Juan. This is actually Omar Rodriguez. Just a quick question on... I noticed that the proportion of revenues in US dollars decreased a little bit year on year. So I was just wondering if you could give us an update on how does the lease contract denomination matches the tenant revenues currently. So for instance, how does that 82.5% of dollar denominated rent matches against the tenants that are currently paying pesos and have dollar revenues, or the other way around? Thank you.
Matt, thank you for the question. Look, basically, we're very careful, and we go through a very thorough credit analysis on the leases that we signed. And obviously, one important question that we see when we do this process is if our clients can afford the rate, the lease, and in what position can are they do they have regarding currency situation. In that regard, there's very few. Most of our clients that have dollar leases are export denominated clients, and we perceive that they have a closely matched between dollar revenues. Or dollar index revenue, so to speak, and dollar leases. Some of them are export-oriented companies, car manufacturers, for example. Some of them are export-oriented companies through the supply contracts they have signed with car manufacturers. Now, there are exceptions to this. And in those cases, we carefully look at the company and its and their ability to pay. Let me give you one salient example. Bonafont is one of our best customers in the Toluca region. Bonafont houses in our facility bottled water for domestic distribution. It is one of our preeminent logistic operations we have in the central region. The rent is in dollars. Obviously, if what they hold is water to be sold in Mexico, the revenue stream is in pesos. So that's one example of a client that has a mismatch. Now, when we analyze Danone's ability to pay, we feel very comfortable. If that situation were to be repeated on a logistic operation of a smaller company, we would be very careful to sign the lease. And we will, if we were to sign it, we would require additional protection, usually a performance bond or something to that effect. We are very disciplined in credit considerations. And we rather say no to a potential client if we believe that the capacity of payment is in question.
Great. Thank you very much. That's very useful. And congratulations on the result, Claire.
Our next question comes from Ivan Enriquez from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hello, Lorenzo, Juan, Guillermo, Iga. Congratulations again, and thanks for the call. My question is more like strategic and industry-oriented and forward-looking. It has to do with one of your projects, the phase two of the Nissan project that you have. Would like to know if you can share with us how the construction of that plant is developing from your perspective, and if you have started to see some demand coming from this project, or where can we expect to start seeing some demand from here, and if you know when that plan would be, is expected to be ready, the Daimler Nissan plan. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you very much, Ivan. It's good to have you in the call. And talking about Aguascalientes, we all know that that first of all, we knew since the beginning that this was going to be the A2, which is the Aguascalientes 2 plant for Nissan, was the fastest ever plant developed by Nissan in 18 months, and the park, the suppliers park, the DSP, which means the synchronization with the plant is strategically for them and for us. So and we have been keeping on developing, and as we are just announcing still growth and at the pace of Nissan. What we were not sure whenever we invested in the region was when the potential alliance that Daimler did with Nissan for the Compass project. And the Compass project is a project that is being developed, is huge. There is two interesting is to see the two cultures mixing plants, the Japanese and the Germans. We all know the kind of quality of automakers that they both are. And Daimler is the one that has been working even faster in terms of preparing their supplier base. We have been a couple of times in Germany working very close with them in the suppliers base, and that's why we announced the acquisition of the 80 hectares just across the road in order to increase the base of available GLA for future projects. And that's the one that we have been, of course, developing from scratch. A complete new land requires from buying from different owners, getting the permits ready, preparing all that, feasibility studies, regional impact, all that has been very fast been done. And very shortly, we will announce, very shortly, I'm talking about weeks, We will have the groundbreaking ceremony. We just are expecting to have the confirmation of the date, but this will be done with the former governor, who will be only few weeks more governor, and that's who the but we that's just the groundbreaking ceremony. But we are working already with potential tenants as part of our pipeline.
Okay, thanks so much, Lorenzo.
No, thank you very much, Ivan.
Thank you. I would now like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Benhel for any closing comments.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for participating in Vesta's third quarter 2016 conference call. We look forward to speaking with you again when we release our second quarter, our last quarter results for this year. And if you have any question in the meantime, as we always do, please do not hesitate to contact our investor relations department. Thank you very much and have a great day.
This concludes today's teleconference. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect your lines at this time.